This is Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Thanks for tuning in today. We're going to talk about plantar fascia. Plantar fasciitis, you've had it. I know you have. I see you shaking your head. We're going to talk about how you can avoid it and what you can do if you have it. With us today, our guest is Ursula Booth. She's a physical therapist right here in Indianapolis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you betcha. You're the clinic director at Team Rehabilitation. So by the name, I'm guessing you help people when they have some problems.
That is correct. We have about 14 clinics here in the Indianapolis area.
Oh, wow.
And we address all sorts of problems related to musculoskeletal. And by that, I mean muscle and joint aches and pains. And including plantar fasciitis that we're talking about today.
Now, do you find, are your patients mostly older or not necessarily?
Oh, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. The age range we see in our clinics as young as 10 and as old as 99.
Oh, my goodness. What's the youngest patient you've seen with plantar fascia?
The youngest I've seen, it tends to affect people more toward their 30s and 40s.
Okay, okay.
So we don't see that as a problem in our younger patients below that age.
Would you just describe what is plantar fasciitis? What is it?
Sure. So the plantar fascia, we have fascia tissue throughout our body, and it gets the name plantar fascia because it's on the bottom plantar, or the bottom surface of the foot in this case. So the plantar fascia is a thick band of connective tissue that extends from the heel of the foot and spreads out toward the toes. When it becomes irritated or inflamed, it causes pain, and the way that people recognize that is when they first step out of bed, they step down on that foot, and they get a sharp pain that they'll experience in the bottom of the foot. And that's a big indication that they could be dealing with plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, it starts in the heel and works its way around the arch, or it could just be heel, or it could just be arch. Is that right?
Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of times these problems originate into the calf of the leg, or maybe there's something wrong with the hip or knee that has changed the way the body takes weight bearing through the leg, and mm-hmm. that can be mm-hmm. another thing that can cause that to become irritated.
I think that's interesting because it's all related. And then, you know,
your
gait changes, and then something else goes wrong because you're walking weird or not the way you're supposed to or using the correct muscles it's all related.
Absolutely right. Yes, it's all connected. And that's one of the ways in which physical therapists excel in the healthcare arena, because when you come in to see a physical therapist, we're not just going to address that point of pain. We need to examine really the whole body to determine if there's a problem somewhere else that maybe is causing that pain a person may feel in their foot.
Isn't that crazy? We're talking to Ursula Booth. She's a physical therapist with Team Rehabilitation locally, and we're specifically kind of drilling down on plantar fasciitis. It's that pain that you feel in the arch of your foot or the heel in your foot. Oh, what's your fur baby's name?
Oh, that is Pepper. She is actually our therapy dog, and we just had a clap of thunder, and she was responding to that.
Yeah. Oh, God love her. Okay, so the pain that comes with plantar fasciitis, it can be, it's very sharp, and it really does hurt a lot. So let's talk about some of the solutions that you give your patients. I was doing some reading, and these are some of the things that I've done or suggested to other people that have had this.
Sure.
One of them being that frozen water bottle that you rub your foot back and forth on. Roll it on that.
Yes, you can use that. Also, a tennis ball will help. And by the pressure of the tennis ball or frozen bottle of water, it helps to eliminate some of the inflammation, warmth that's at the bottom of the foot, and it spreads out that fascia through that pressure of rolling that back and forth on the bottom of the foot to help alleviate some of those symptoms. Stretching is also very important. Again, pain may be in the bottom of the foot,
mm-hmm.
but the plantar fascia actually is connected to the Achilles tendon. People probably know that term, as well as muscles in the calf of the leg. And so stretching those areas can also help with some of the problems and pain that people feel in the bottom of the foot.
Right. So we've talked about massaging, stretching, you know, something that's hard for runner or just athletes to do sometimes that get this is resting. They don't want to rest, but you tell them to rest it anyway, right?
Yeah, it's important that people try to maintain some level of activity. But, you know, when the pain becomes too uncomfortable, we need to back off of it a little bit. And so giving an opportunity to have the feet up, elevated, resting, so you take some of the pressure off can help. And then while you're doing that, you can also just stretch the foot out with a towel around the base of the foot, pulling it toward you. So while you're non-weight bearing, you can stretch it out and help that during a resting time.
When do you do that? Do you do that in the morning, in the evening, middle of the day? How many times?
You can do that. Actually, we recommend that people do that frequently throughout the day. What begins to happen, as we sleep at night, the fascia will tighten up, and that's why when people make that first step out of bed, they put pressure on it, it expands it, and that it causes that initial onset of pain. But actually, after the first few steps, that begins to loosen up, and then it's not as uncomfortable. But depending on the type of surface they may be standing on or walking on through the day, and other activities that are occurring through the day, it may start to tighten up again. So we actually recommend that they find some time throughout the day to continue to work on that stretching.
Sure, sure. Makes sense. So let's talk about how important are the shoes you wear in preventing plantar fasciitis?
Shoe wear is very important. There's a lot of shoes out there now that we wear, particularly women, if we're in heels, where we shorten the muscles in the calf. This can add some stress into the plantar fascia. There may be shoes that aren't very supportive around the heel, so they fit loosely. This is causing the muscles in your foot to be overworked, and that can trigger it. So shoe wear is very important. We share with our patients, if you're going to make an investment money-wise, we want that in a good mattress and in a good pair of shoes.
Oh, does a mattress come into play with plantar?
Or just
in general, body health.
Just in general,
support.
Yes, for overall health.
So back to the shoes, fashion or fasciitis? That's my little joke.
Yes.
Flip-flops are bad, right?
Not necessarily.
Really?
It just depends on the brand. Okay. There are some flip-flops that actually some people feel more comfortable in when they have plantar fasciitis, and there's other times, you know, when it's going to aggravate it. So we really like to let people not restrict them too much, but listen to their body and then respond to what their body is needing. If flip-flops make them feel comfortable, then we want to recommend that. If a more supportive shoe, like an athletic shoe, helps, then we want them to do that as well.
Yeah, I've always thought that, you know, that the shoes played a major role in plantar fasciitis. And you also mentioned the calf muscles, you know, how one body part leads to the next body part that leads to the next one that, can mess up your body. So pay attention to everything. Pay attention to your body. I think that's, you know, what I'm hearing from you today.
That's correct. So it's, it's not just identifying the sole location of pain, but what else may be going on. Sitting posture, standing posture. Sometimes we may stand and we have our weight shifted more to one leg over the other. These can be things that can be setting someone up for issues, not just plantar fasciitis, but other things as well. So just being aware of what your body is doing throughout the day is an important factor in preventing these types of problems.
And the surfaces that you're on can definitely affect it too. So, you know, when I do dishes, I've got that little padded, you know, rug there that helps. That feels so much better.
Absolutely.
Than just standing on the
hard
floor.
Firm surfaces. The folks that work production lines where they have to stand on concrete surfaces all day. You can imagine that, and then not having a supportive shoe on, how fatiguing it may be to the muscles in the leg and the foot. So definitely you want to be mindful of those types of surface areas.
Okay, we're talking to Ursula Booth. She's a physical therapist here in Indianapolis with Team Rehabilitation. Is plantar fasciitis, is that scar tissue?
No, it's not. It's actually, anytime you have the term itis after a name, it indicates there's an inflammatory process that's going on. So the fascia has become irritated, hence the inflammation and the itis terminology. So after it does that, sometimes the tissue may thicken up when the irritation or inflammation has lasted for prolonged periods of time. And so it can seem as if it's scar tissue, but that's actually not what's forming there.
Oh.
And we can do treatments like instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization, where we can use some type of tool to help stretch out or loosen up that tightening fascia.
Wow, interesting. Do you ever have to do, I mean, as a physical therapist, you can pretty much tell if somebody's got it or not by feeling and looking. You don't really have to go do MRIs or anything like that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's usually not necessary for someone to have any sort of imaging. Palpation or touching around the area is a huge indicator of plantar fasciitis, as well as I mentioned earlier, one of the main symptoms, those first few steps out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
After the foot's been in a resting position and then you go to step down on it, it creates some pressure or tension in that fascia that has started to tighten, and that's an indication that that plantar fasciitis is present in the foot.
Well, you've given us some great tips for that at-home management. If people need a little more assistance, how would they get a hold of one of your clinics? Is it?
Sure. They can. My clinic in particular can be reached at 317-677-0660. I'm on the northwest side of Indianapolis. And other clinic locations can be reached by contacting our website. That is www.team-rehab.com. And there are locations for all of the clinics throughout the Indianapolis area.
And you probably have specialists at different ones that deal with different types of rehabilitation, I'm guessing.
Plantar fasciitis is pretty common,
huh?
So all of our clinics are equipped to deal with this and address this issue for all of our patients.
Is one of the first things you tell them, though, like you need to examine your shoes? I'm just wondering what the first thing to a solution would be besides some of these exercises, because you still have to walk and live and do.
Absolutely. So when people come in, we're going to be observing their shoe wear, looking at wear patterns on the bottom of the shoes when they come in, looking at just their overall posture, checking for muscle tone in the legs, if there's weaknesses in some area that may be causing them to stress muscles or the fascia in the bottom of the foot. We'll assess all of those things and not just leave them with things they can do at home, even though that's an important part of the care. People come in, they may see a therapist for an hour, two, three times a week maybe, but they have all the rest of those hours of the week where they need to know how to self-manage these symptoms.
That's what I was wondering.
It can be challenging. Yeah, it can be challenging sometimes.
It hurts.
To treat this condition.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Ursula Booth is with the Team Rehabilitation. We appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for the information you've shared on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, and I appreciate you having me today.
And you are listening to Lifestyle Indy on Freedom 95.
You are listening to Lifestyle Indy, your life, your style.
All right, welcome back to the show. Oh, we've got a special guest, one of my favorite people that I met in 2019, Tom Foder. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Wow, what an honor to be called one of your favorite people. You meet so many great people.
I do.
Even if you're fibbing, I'll take it as a compliment.
Oh, my gosh, you're such a sweetheart. We just, Mary Pat and I just are coming off of a fundraiser. Tom is the executive director for Morning Light, and we had so much fun raising money for the Abby Hunt Bryce Home.
Yes, and Julie, thanks for being honorary chair and bringing so many of your colleagues with you to fill out your table and to enjoy the evening. And I got to say, you must have been the best chair we ever had, because we raised a record amount.
Oh,
so we're going to cover basically 2 months' worth of care for hospice residents at the Abby Hunt Bryce Home.
That's
thanks
amazing.
Thanks for your leadership. So thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. So let's tell our audience what Morning Light is and what the Abby Hunt Bryce Home is. Let's start with Morning Light, the organization that you head up.
Right. Thanks a lot. Morning Light is the entity that runs two notable residences in our community. Probably the most notable is the Abby Hunt Bryce Home that you were affiliated with through our beach ball fundraiser. That's one of only a few hospice residences in the entire country that provide free living accommodations for people who are terminally ill. Many of them are homeless. They have no place to call home so they could receive the hospice care that they need in their final stages of life. But they find a home with us. We're their adopted family. We care for them. Our home assistants cook three meals a day. They make sure they're comfortable. They make sure that they have their medication. And they just provide that compassionate support for them. And so we're privileged to do that. And we've been doing it since 2004. The other Morning Light program is Penwood Place Apartments for Seniors. And it's a low-income seniors who stay there. But I tell you, seniors, they want to be active. They really do.
Yeah, they do field trips, and they're like, hey, Tom, what are we doing today, right?
That's right. It's sort of like that. So sometimes it's a trip to a Pacers game, and a couple times we've gotten on at halftime at Act Court for a check presentation. Also, there's grocery shuttles. There's birthdays and bingos every month, and that's something I really look forward to. You might think, oh, gosh, you know, what fun would that be? Hey, I leave the office. I call numbers for an hour. The folks have fun, and it's just a great time, and I really look forward to that break from my regular job every month. But they keep me on my toes, and my colleague Madison Gonzalez as well, who runs many of the activities at both facilities. So it's just a constant feedback of activity at Penwood, and then you get that feedback of caring and a home atmosphere from the Abby Hunt Bryce Home for our hospice residents.
You know, I was fortunate, our whole team was fortunate enough to go to the Abby Hunt Bryce Home, and there's going to be a story on a future about the Abby Bryce Home, and I got to meet one of the residents, Dixie. And
wow.
What a story. This is a lady. You want to tell her story a little bit?
It's just that she's had so many tragedies in her life, and including, you know, relatives who are also terminally ill, and she really had no support around her, and we've been able to provide that support for her as she deals with these life challenges that she's faced.
Well, I think the remarkable thing that stuck with me when I interviewed her was she came in last year with 2 months to live, and it's a year later.
That happens sometimes.
Isn't that amazing? And she just, you know, and I know she's terminal, but just what a sweet spirit. She talked about making muffins for everybody in the kitchen there at the Abby Hunt Bryce Home. It is just like home for these people that live there.
Well, I think you really are grasping at the unique characteristic of the home. Is when you think of, oh, people are spending their final days and hours in the Abby Hunt Bryce Home, you expect more of a somber atmosphere, more of an institution. But you come in the front door, and it's like going into a relative's home. And there aren't mm-hmm. that smells. There's some activities.
Mm-hmm.
You get that loving, caring atmosphere. And that's why it's called a home, because it really is their home. And as our provider relations specialist, Penny Davis, has said many times, people don't go to the Abby Hunt Bryce Home to die. They go to live mm-hmm. out their final days. And mm-hmm. that's really the motto and the guiding light of what we do each and every day.
There have been three big awards in the past few months that you've accepted. And you mentioned Penny. Did you say Penny? Is that her name?
Yes, I did.
And she's the most recent recipient of an award. Please tell our audience about that.
Well, thanks for asking, because it's really been a humbling experience to be recognized like we have. Just about 2 weeks ago, Penny Davis, who has been our provider relations specialist since the end of 2016, she networks with the referral sources, hospice providers, hospitals, to see if we could help their patients or if they're a good fit to stay at the Abby Hunt Price home. She was recognized by the Indianapolis Business Journal as one of its healthcare heroes. Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And to have her get some recognition for the great work that she and is doing in front of 400, 500 of her peers at their wonderful breakfast that they have every year, it was just a really chilling for me to see that kind of recognition. What she did, Julie, oh my goodness. When she came on board, there was one person at the home.
Wow.
Because we really hadn't got out the message of what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we had not really been listening enough, to tell you the truth, to our customers. Just like any good business would have to do to be successful. She went out and listened. She said that we could deliver this compassionate environment for people who had nowhere else to live. And then we started delivering that, and lo and behold, she's a healthcare hero. And you think about it, in the last 3 years that she's been active with us, we've had an all-time high over those 3 years of more than 140 residents who have stayed at the home.
Wow.
And that just shows that she's reaching out to the community, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to regroup and now deliver those needed support services for our residents.
That's helping a lot of people.
It really is. And then I was very fortunate. Prosperity Indiana, at the end of January, they awarded me the Michael Carroll Leadership Award. And I can't believe that Morning Light and my name are associated with that wonderful civic leader who left us too soon.
I can believe it.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind. But what we were recognized for was for leadership in affordable housing. And this spoke to both residences, Penwood Place Apartments and the Abby Hunt Price home. At Penwood, we have so many gravities, thanks to Madison Gonzalez, who I mentioned before.
Yeah, she's great.
That we're recognized as really delivering those quality of life activities that make the stay there more fun and engaging for the seniors that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big news that we got at the end of November is we won a national competition that was given by Boston University.
It's crazy.
For serious illness management innovation because of what we're doing at the Abby Hunt Price home. And a lot of that is due to the work that Penny has done, I told you about, in Madison. But our operations manager, Raquel Winbush, who we hired about a year ago, she came in and she rallied the staff. She started building the staff again and creating that high professionalism level that is really setting us apart and delivered on the promises that Penny was making to our referral sources and the patients. So it really is a team effort. All of these three awards, it's humbling to think we're in a leadership role. But as I told the Prosperity Indiana crowd and I told the people in Boston, they flew me out there and made a big deal out of it. And I said, what we are now vowing is we aren't going to let you down because we've been given this recognition. We're being told our bar is up here. We're going to still try to raise that bar and serve our community even better than we are now.
Congratulations on all fronts. It's truly, you know, a feather in your cap, all three of those awards. Really amazing. So, you know, this is all fundraising. You've got your beach ball, which we just had. That's a big fundraiser and pays for a couple of months' worth of costs. You also have Rolling for Hope. When is that?
That is August 17th.
Okay.
It's a Thursday. and it's that pinhead, which we just love. It's just so fun. And what we try to do there is raise maybe a week or two worth of operating for the Abby Hunt Bryce Home. A lot different event. It's like playing hooky because it's 3 to 6 on a Thursday, and it's growing in popularity because the department will say, hey, let's go rolling for hope and you know, just have fun together, or a group of friends will do that. And so we're hoping to continue to grow it. We've usually had anywhere from 120 people to 160 right now. It's going to be in its fifth year, and so we just hope that people will show up for that. We're going to put information on our website probably next month about that. But August 17th, play hooky, Rolling for Hope at Penwood. At Pinheads, I'm sorry. It's just a great, unique, fun time.
And what is the website?
Go ahead. One other thing, Jill. I'm sorry I didn't interrupt. But,
yeah, no worries.
You'll see on our website, www.morninglightinc.org.
Okay, Morning Light
Inc. We have a wish list for Abby Hunt Bryce Home. Many companies and businesses get together and collect daily living items or toilet paper or paper towels or blankets. And every one that we collect raise the cost of buying that for us. Mm-hmm. So that's another way we make the ends meet, and our communities really rallied along those causes and collections. So that's something else to consider as you try to think of how can I help Morning Light and most specifically the Abby Hunt Bryce Home.
And that information is on the website, which is morninglightinc.org. Tom, we've run out of time. Oh, my gosh. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, and thanks for all your support and for what you're doing in the community at large and keeping us boomers a lot younger than we deserve to be.
Our pleasure. Tom Foder, the executive director with Morning Light. Thanks for being on Lifestyle Indie Radio.